If you will come with me to Psalm 107, that's what he pressed into my heart this morning. And I want to kind of hit verse 20, because the whole psalm is very powerful. And but I wanted to be making you aware that when we come to the table and we declare certain words, that his word will release healing. And in verse 20, he said, he sent forth his word and healed them. And then the next part of the verse, he rescued them from the grave. Well, sometimes you can watch somebody heading towards the grave and you'd like to keep them from going into the grave. Well, you're the one that has the words of grace and favor and majesty that can change the circumstances in that person's life. And if you, let's say, think about the word, zero construction takes place. But if you purpose to speak it out for them by choice, what's going to happen? The word, okay, the word will be sent forth out of your mouth, will release healing in them and in you. Because instead of despair, you're going to be declaring the promises of God into their lives and change them, such as what happened earlier today. When somebody said, I know this individual needs prayer, and was willing to step out in faith and begin to intercede for that person. Pray for one another that who may be healed. Right. Healing takes place not just in you because you gave it out, but in them as well. And it backfires. It blesses you and me. Blesses our homes, it blesses our families, because we've been obedient to cry out. Okay? I want you to see verse 19. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And it doesn't say that we saved them. It says he saved them from their distress. I believe that's an answer to your particular requirement, where this person has cried out. They know you represent the Lord. They know that they're on the phone with you because of your connection to God. Maybe you don't realize the fullness of what that change that will take place in them as well as in you, but that change will mean that God will put his angels and bring a rescue out of the problem. And so therefore, your confidence is not just in yourself, but in his ability to bring healing. So let's back it up a little bit. Verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures according to my standard. Is that the way that
is? Just a moment.
Yes. Well, that's Kim's version sometimes. Okay?
Amen.
Because that's the emotional response. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures part-time.
Forever.
Forever.
Oh, I like part-time better because it fits on how my emotions were reacting to all the problems in my life.
Amen.
All right? So when we change the word, it fits our plan. When we leave it the way it is, unbelief comes in. Okay? Well, how's he going to do that? How can I give him thanks for such a mess? Well, if you didn't have a mess to begin with, you wouldn't even be praying. Everything would be sweet and smooth and no problems. But when there's difficulties in your life and you start giving thanks, You're going to be relying on his love that endures
forever,
which is the way it's written. Then it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Notice it says say or speak. Mm. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Oh, so you mean the darkness has a plan for their lives as well as yours?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from the north and the south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfied the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. For they had rebelled against the word of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. You know anybody like that? I have a few on my list. I used to live there.
On my list.
Well?
Yeah, I have one too.
Okay. 12. So he subjected them to bitter labor, and they stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Without trouble, they wouldn't be crying out.
Oh.
Amen.
That's very good.
But that's the word. So troubles are allowed for you to open your mouth in a cry to God for help. And don't look at your circumstances as hopeless, because when you cry out, God comes right away. Amen? And he saved them from their distress. So your emotional package has an available salvation when you cry out. 14. Kind of important on that one, so you might put a circle there. He brought them out of darkness and deepest gloom. And then again, the next part is very important. He broke away their chains. He did it. But he needs a mouth to speak, and that's yours and mine. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down gates of bronze. Bronze represents suffering. And cuts through bars of iron. That's witchcraft. So when you see bars of iron in the scripture, many times it refers to witchcraft. So years ago, the Holy Spirit began to teach me. He said, when you want chains to be broken, if you're depending on yourself, you're depending on a foolish reaction. If you're depending on the Lord, his angels will go to work, and you don't have to do a thing except keep your focus on him. And the iron bars will go all the way down. They will fall apart, and the witchcraft will be exposed. God will take care of it. And I believe that some of this right now, these past few verses are happening in our country right now. There's a lot of garbage going on, but God is still on the throne, and he's going to take people through, and he's going to take the darkness, and he's going to expose it. Wherever that happens to be, wherever that darkness happens to be. 17. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Notice again, they cried out to the Lord in their troubles. It doesn't say because sometimes, you know, hardships can be described by you and me looking at someone else. But when it's personal to you, it's going to put you on your knees when you really sometimes feel like, oh my God, this is hopeless. And he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wit's end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. Again, the reliance is on the Lord. Whether you're up or down, sideways or otherwise, he's going to change the circumstances when you cry out. He stilled the storm to a whisper, verse 29. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. He guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, the fruitful land into a salt waste, because of the wickedness of those who live there. He turned the deserts into pools of water and the parched grounds into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they found a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their number greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their number decreased, and they were humbled. Think about that. Their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who poured contempt on the nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their afflictions and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. That last verse is very important. Consider the great love of the Lord. Mm-hmm. When you and I look at ourselves and we see ourselves as hopeless and without love from God, we're making a big mistake. Even though our emotions are saying, God doesn't really love me because look at all my messes or look at all my mistakes, God is really saying, you haven't considered who I really am. You've tried to put your own fix on the way I love people. I teased my wife this morning because, like I told you, she's been hurting, and this past week has been quite difficult.
This weather hasn't helped either, can I tell you?
Yeah, I understand that part, but again, you know, she's seeing more and more, because there was a word that the doctor said the first time we saw him back in May, and he said to her, you know, he says, I won't have to convince you to get a hip replacement. You're going to be looking to me. In other words, what you're feeling right now is a percentage of what you're going to experience down the road. And we're talking roughly 6-7 months now. Mm-hmm. And now she says to me, every day it seems to be, I'm more limited. The leg won't move. The hip area has stifled. And even getting up out of the wheelchair last night, because we went to the nursing home, you know, getting back into the car And it was a very difficult struggle just to get herself up and sit in the front seat and go. And, you know, she does have to move, like the doctor said. You have to move, otherwise things are going to be worse. And, of course, now she's realizing his words from a few weeks ago when he said, you know the progression. You went from walking normal to using a cane. Then you had to use a walker. And your next level is wheelchair. And we're already seeing that, you know, in reality, if it wasn't in a few weeks that this is going to be turned around, because again, he said, when you do get the hip replacement, he said, you're going to graduate again, but you're going to graduate back to a cane and then back to freedom. And, you know, when we look at God's love and his compassion to us, giving the talents to these doctors to be able to replace a hip, because she's been studying some of the materials that are being used. And one of the great comments that is written is that after the initial transfer and the old parts are removed and then they put these artificial parts in, actually the bone starts growing over it so that it becomes more stable in weeks and months ahead. And she says, you know, my mind tries to wrap itself up around that truth that, yes, the bone is actually going to curl over and seal what they put in there. And the logic literally is just tampered with because your natural mind says, whoa, how can this possibly be? And my conversation with Bob on this week, talking about a little bit of his experience. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about his hip replacement. And I was telling him, you know, that Irene is going to be facing the same thing. And he says, you know, he says, I know that that hip of mine couldn't go any further when I had to have it replaced. And he said, yes, there was suffering. But he said, I was able to get back on my feet and do things, which, you know, that's what he more or less was implying, you know. Just remember that God loved him enough. And he says, that's still happening now. So what I'm saying to all of you is this. We need to remember why the God of heaven had this book written. Why God gives you pieces to the puzzle that are written. Some of you have received words. Some of you have received scriptures. Don't underestimate what God is really trying to build inside of each and every one of you. Because he's got a purpose for every single one of us. And when we go back and we look at this verse 20, he sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. The enemy had a plan to put you and I and me in the grave. But God said, I sent my word. I sent my Savior. His name is Jesus. He's the Word made flesh. He is the one that gives us a future. He's the one that keeps us and continues to carry us until the finish line. And so we need to be aware how much he loves us, how great a love that he actually poured out when he allowed his son to die on that cross. So if you'll just close your eyes and put your right hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Your love.
Your love.
And the Father's love.
And the Father's love.
Is so far beyond me.
Is so far beyond me.
Give me an adjustment.
Give me an adjustment.
In my heart.
In my heart.
So that I can comprehend.
So that I can comprehend.
Why you sent forth your word.
Why you sent forth your word.
Why you're healing me.
Why you're healing me.
Why you rescued me from the grave.
Why you rescued me from the grave.
Let me give you thanks.
Let me give you thanks.
This day.
This day.
For your unfailing love.
For your unfailing love.
It's not going to fail.
It's not going to fail.
Even if the things look bad.
Even if things look bad.
You've got a plan.
You've got a plan.
And you will carry me.
And you will carry me.
In spite of me.
In spite of me.
When I get in the way.
When I get in the way.
You're going to take me.
You're going to take me.
And lift me a little higher.
And lift me a little higher.
And let me see.
And let me see.
Your unbelievable love.
Your unbelievable love.
Your unfailing love.
Your unfailing love.
Your everlasting love.
Your everlasting love.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.